news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oops, he did it again, but you knew he would. After being impeached for doing something similar, Donald Trump again publicly made a blatant request for a quid pro quo, asking for a personal political favor in return for official government action. Just last week, the White House put a freeze on New York's Global Entry Trusted Traveler program, which will cause those who use it to lose the ability to speed through airport security or border crossings with Canada, a move Trump made in retaliation for New York Governor Cuomo's decision to block ICE from access to their DMV database. On Thursday afternoon, Trump tweeted, "I'm seeing Governor Cuomo today at the White House. He must understand that national security far exceeds politics. New York must stop all of its unnecessary lawsuits and harassment, start cleaning itself up and lowering taxes. Build relationships, but don't bring Fredo." I guess that was a veiled reference to Chris Cuomo of CNN. Whatever. Walter Schaub, former director of the Office of Government Ethics, tweeted, "Barr's PR nonsense is not the story. The story is your president just engaged in Ukraine-level quid pro quo extortion, but this time against one of the United States. In plain sight on Twitter." New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, chimed in, "When you stop violating the rights and liberties of all New Yorkers, we will stand down. Until then, we have a duty and responsibility to defend the Constitution and the rule of law. By the way, I file the lawsuits, not the governor." You go, girl. But about that other big story, after days of mounting criticism about William Barr fulfilling his role as Trump's Roy Cohn in the wake of the Department of Justice decision to walk back the initial sentencing recommendation for Roger Stone, the attorney general sat for an interview with ABC's Pierre Thomas, obviously trying to do damage control.
"To have public statements and tweets made about the department, about our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job and to assure the courts and the prosecutors in the department that we're doing our work with integrity."
Critics, including me, have suggested that Attorney General William Barr's comments to ABC News appearing to stand up to Donald Trump were a coordinated attempt between him and the White House aimed at diffusing the outrage sparked by the Justice Department's walkback of the sentencing recommendation for Trump's longtime ally, Roger Stone, which Trump had fiercely criticized. Somehow, Barr doesn't seem to be in any danger of losing his job. But a few former White House staffers are returning, starting with Hope Hicks, who will reportedly return as an advisor working closely with Jared Kushner. I read at least one report that said Hicks' return has more to do with Donald Trump's declining mental state. For once, I believe them. Well, a rare show of bipartisan action unfolded in the Senate on Thursday when, by a vote of 55-45, the chamber voted to rebuke the president and limit his ability to launch military action in Iran. 8 Republicans joined all the Democrats to pass the resolution that would require Donald Trump to secure congressional approval for military action against Iran and for U.S. troops to be pulled from military engagement within 30 days if approval is not granted. Mike Lee of Utah, one of the 8 Republican senators to vote with the Democrats, told reporters, quote, "This is not about the presidency. This really is about the proper allocation of power between the 3 branches of government. Congress has ceased to be in the war declaration driver's seat." You think? The measure now goes to the House, but it'll have to wait a little while as they're on recess until February 25th. The Senate is also now gone until the 24th. And to celebrate President's Day, Trump, again, is headed to Mar-a-Lago, his 30th visit since 2017. Oh, and he'll appear Saturday night at a fundraiser that'll cost $580,600 per couple to attend. Yeah, the most expensive fundraiser since Trump took office. So Jim Jordan can't shake the allegations that while he was assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State University in the early 90s, he turned a blind eye to direct reports alleging sexual abuse by then team doctor Richard Strauss. On Tuesday, a former captain of the team and the brother of one of the alleged victims, Adam DeSabato, testified at a hearing on an Ohio bill that would allow victims of Strauss to sue the university for damages.
Jim Jordan called me crying, groveling on the 4th of July, begging me to go against my brother, begging me, crying for a half hour. That's the kind of cover-ups that's going on there. Jim Jordan called me several times after that week. I had to have my lawyer call him, tell him to stop calling me. I had a teammate, George Pardos, I called and told him, call Jim Jordan and tell him to quit calling me or I'm going to beat his ass. He's throwing us under the bus, all of us. He's a coward. He's not a leader. He's a coward. I'm a leader. I was captain of these guys. That's why I'm here. I would never abandon my team. He abandoned us. Our head coach abandoned us. He's flipped his story. He called other people to flip their story. He called Mark Coleman to flip his story. He called his parents, 90 years old. That's the kind of person Jim Jordan is.
Jordan continues to deny knowing about the alleged abuse. Well, last month was the hottest January ever recorded on Earth, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The average temperature across land and ocean surfaces was 2.05 degrees Fahrenheit, above the 20th century average of 53.6 degrees. It was the 421st straight month with temperatures higher than that average. And finally, Friday marks the second anniversary of the massacre at Parkland, Florida's Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. This is my community. Every one of these school shootings is a travesty and a tragedy. But when it hits close to home in your neighborhood, it's magnified a millionfold. Today, we remember the 17 lives that were taken that day and the many others who were wounded. And the wounds inflicted on a body by an AR-15 are devastating. Never again.
If it were up to me, I'd take away the guns. I'd take away the guns.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.